It's Marketplace Tax for July 15th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Like many U.S. tech companies with an appetite for growth, Netflix has been going hard at the international market. We could talk about the popularity of House of Cards among Chinese people with a cynical view of American politics, or maybe one of the most expensive TV shows ever made, Netflix's $90 million historical drama Marco Polo. But right now, let's hear Adam Allington talk about the streaming company's latest earnings report coming out later today.
Netflix is forecast to gain some 26 million international subscribers with a presence in 50 countries by the end of this year.
The main thing at this stage for them is just the raw subscriber growth numbers.
Jim Nail is a business-to-consumer analyst with Forrester Research. The biggest prize for Netflix would be China, where the e-commerce company Alibaba recently launched its own streaming service.
But I don't think it's a deal killer. It certainly sets up stiffer competition.
Domestically, Netflix hopes to drive subscriptions by continuing to produce its own standalone content, with shows such as Orange is the New Black or House of Cards. All that programming is really expensive, says University of Michigan communications professor Amanda Lotz.
Netflix is spending a lot of money, and so that's where the pressure to expand subscribers in order to amortize those costs over a bigger subscriber base.
The big threat to Netflix going forward, says Lotz, would be if all those content providers bypass the middleman and start selling directly to consumers. I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
While European leaders have reached a new financial rescue plan for Greece, people on the streets of Athens are still faced with their own challenges, like getting access to the money that makes their lives and the daily Greek economy work. And in a world where banks have been closed, more Greeks are using technology to get access to the cash they need. Marketplace host Kai Rizdal has been on the ground in Athens reporting on the crisis this week, and he joins me from there. Kai, how are you?
I'm good, Ben. I'm good.
What's the status of cash machines there? Have you been in line for an ATM? You have, right?
I have. As you know, the banks here are closed, and it is not uncommon to see 20 or 30 people in line to get their money out. What's really interesting is I've had some people tell me that they see people in front of them with, you know, like three or four cards, like they've been deputized by the family to go to the bank for that day and just cycle those cards in and out and get as many euros out as they can. So people are coping here, I think, is what you'd say.
The political wrangling seemed to be creating some new interest in alternative routes for moving capital around, not cash machines, but online banking, PayPal, even some interest in Bitcoin. Have the people you've been talking to been thinking about this stuff or using it?
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of Bitcoin chit-chat actually out on the streets. I think it's the monetary theorists who were talking about that who are hoping they'll get lucky and maybe strike it rich with Bitcoin here. I don't know. But I was talking to an economist at the University of Athens the other day. His name is Panagiros Alexakis. And he was telling me how it's actually a good thing that there are capital controls in place, that it's a good thing that banks are closed, because it's convincing people to switch to web banking. I myself, he said, am now getting into web banking. And this guy's an economist and he was on the board of the stock exchange here. So, you know, necessity drives invention, I guess.
Nothing like a little bit of a financial crisis to nudge people into the 21st century.
I think that's exactly right. People are finding these coping mechanisms because, make no mistake, it's rough here. Unemployment's at 25%. If not for the tourists here in downtown Athens, I don't know what would be going on. So people are doing what they got to do.
Kai Rizdal, host of Marketplace. Kai, thank you very much, man.
You bet.
Ellen Pao has stepped down from her position as CEO of the content aggregation website Reddit. And even without explaining the fact that Reddit is a unique website visited by millions, run by an army of volunteers, funded by venture capital and owned by an old media organization, there's a lot of context to understand. Tensions have arisen around everything from Reddit hosting darker elements of internet culture to the tools it's given its volunteer moderators to how it has reacted to Ellen Pao's leadership. Karen North is professor of digital social media at USC's Annenberg School. Hi, Karen. Thanks for chatting with me.
Thanks for having me.
What does it say about Reddit that this particular CEO ousting happened so fast?
One of the most remarkable things about Reddit is that Reddit has such a tightly knit, outspoken community of users. the group really can rally against a person who actually works for the company. And that's what we saw in this situation.
There's, of course, larger context of how Ellen Pao is viewed, both inside and outside of Reddit. How does that impact this particular story of her being pushed out?
You know, I don't know, but I will say that my guess is that because of her situation and her lawsuit with the venture capital company, she was seen as more vulnerable. Because she's had controversy, the idea that a group of hundreds of thousands of users could rise up against her actually felt like, and again, it's just a guess, but it felt like, hey, we may be able to have an impact against this person because this person has had trouble in the past.
Will this scare off funders?
Well, I mean, I think that the problem that Reddit has had is that funders and advertisers have not wanted to be with Reddit as much as Reddit would like, nor have new users. So Reddit has a reputation for being outspoken and an opinion leader on the one hand, but they also have a serious reputation for housing bullying and fat shaming and malicious sexual imagery. And part of the disconnect is, how do you get rid of the mean-spirited, negative, trolling-type behaviors and bring in new people while still keeping the people who are your core users happy with their community?
Karen North is professor of digital social media at USC's Annenberg School. Karen, thank you.
Thank you so much.
And maybe you heard us talking yesterday about Comcast's new TV over broadband internet service called Stream, which seems aimed at cord cutters. Well, Verizon has a mobile video service it is expected to roll out this year. That service is designed in part to work over the company's cell phone towers, which could broadcast content out to devices. And Verizon has announced that Vice Media will be offered as part of that service. Could this be the dawning of the age of millennials? Maybe it's just the dusking of the age of old-fashioned television. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.